Doody.
That's an old name, Howdy Doody. And we have a guest on the air as usual. I have to turn something off here, though. I'm sorry. Here we go. There we go. I got it turned off. How you doing, Dr. Feynman?
I'm doing fine. I got my second Moderna vaccine this morning, about an hour early, actually.
Wow.
I got there early, and I went right in and got it, and I feel fine.
Excellent. Excellent. I'm glad to hear that. Now, we, on the other side of the story, are not feeling fine here at the radio station.
I heard earlier that you had trouble getting out of your driveway, and you had some person come by to help you out.
Yeah, well, and like an idiot, I was so happy he helped us that I ran over, shook his hand, and without a mask, and like an idiot. I hope neither one of us gave anything to each other, but no.
Did you have a mask either?
Neither one of us did.
Oh, boy.
Well, he was driving his truck or his car, and I was trying to get in mine, and I don't know. You know, I don't know. Do you wear your mask while you're driving your car?
I have the mask. I have it down, you know, below my chin.
Yeah.
I only wear it when I get out of the car.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't wear it in the car because I'm only with my son or by myself, so no need to, I feel, you know.
This gentleman had his hanging from his rearview mirror, much like I did. A lot of good they do there, right?
Well, it protects the mirror.
Yes. No, the problem that we're having right now is you and I are on the internet, live, worldwide.
Yes.
We are also there's an app, and I can't remember the name of the app, and we have a lot of people that listen that way, and we have a lot of people that go to our website and click on Listen Live, but we are not over the air right now, not in Marion.
Because I heard you on
Yeah, well, yeah, we're absolutely on, and a lot of people follow us that way, but for some reason or other, our transmitter is down, and we're trying to take care of that. But we are live, and we are worldwide, and did you hear me telling my story about Gary Tuttle?
No, I was on, and then I was off, and then I was on. I didn't hear about that. Gary Tuttle?
Last night, I got a shirt from Gary. He's a long-distance runner, has been for years and years and years. And
it sounded like I've heard it, but yeah.
And he put on his website, he puts every day, he puts a new shirt that he has hundreds of shirts.
Oh, my God.
You always get a shirt when you run, and sometimes several. And his wife is also a long-distance runner, so
They
have hundreds of shirts. And every day he puts one on the line, and it says, donate, trash, or keep. And so we all get on and vote for him. Well, he had one on about 2 weeks ago that said Obama in 08, Obama in 12.
Oh, good.
And I loved it. And I said, you got to keep it. And if you don't keep it, send it to me. And he did send it to me.
Oh, wow.
Now, he weighed 130 pounds back when he was running so much. And so it's a medium. I haven't worn a medium since I was in grade junior
high. Yeah.
So, but my wife is going to wear, and she worked on Obama's campaign with me in 08 and also in 12. So it means a lot to her. But anyway,
I'm proud of you for having campaigned for Obama back in 8 and 12. That's
yeah,
great.
And
you know?
We were more than just campaigning for. We actually did the in 12. We did the all the technical stuff. People would send us information about people that they had gone and knocked on their door. We'd put that information into the data bank, and so we actually did some serious work in 12. Now, in 08, we basically helped getting mailing things out. So,
yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah, my son, my oldest son, back in 8 and 7 and 8, did campaign in the local communities, but he was shocked at how much racism he came across.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He was really shocked. He could not believe it, you know?
Yeah, I'm afraid that that's still going on. We've got to wait until 2045 when we will be, us old white guys will be a minority. I'll be dead, but...
Well, maybe not. How do you know?
I'll be 99, so...
Oh, Prince Philip is 99. Now he's in the hospital, I heard.
Who is?
Prince Philip of Great Britain. He's supposed to be 100 in June, so I'm thinking, you can't die now.
You got to make it to the 100, at least, yeah.
June will be 100 years old. Can you imagine that?
Yeah, that's and he's done such a yeoman's job of being the backup, hadn't he? I mean, he's never complained that his wife makes him take out the trash or anything.
I don't think he does that.
You don't? Hey, Prince, take the trash out.
Yeah, but he's been sick a number of times, seriously, but he always recovers, you know?
That's good. Let's hope.
Amazing longevity, really. But now I'm wondering, he's not feeling well. Hoping he'll be all right.
Yeah.
You know?
Let's hope he didn't get the virus.
And in April, Elizabeth's 95. She's still in great shape. She really is, you know?
She does seem that way, doesn't she?
Gosh. Yeah. I mean, I wish we all could be like she is at 95. But people say her job is easy. Not really. She's at most days, she's out in public speaking. You know, I'm not saying she runs the government, but she really is not that insignificant as people think. She does play a major role, you know?
And she kind of embarrassed Trump once. When Trump stood in front of her and stuff like that.
What about that? Talking about Trump, what about his attack on Mitch McConnell? Unbelievable.
I was good. That was one of the questions I have here. What did you feel about that?
What do you think I thought?
Well, I know what you thought. You know,
I'm a Mitch McConnell fan, but all that McConnell went out of his way to do for him, and he even voted to not convict him, and then he finally releases honest to say that he's still indictable and all that. And what does Trump expect? He only wants people to do things for him. He never gives back, you know?
Yeah. Now, Mitch, I was shocked that... Were you shocked at the speech that he made about...
Yes.
Yeah, I was too. Now, he's kind of stepping back from that, from what I understand. Is that correct?
Not my impression. Okay. I don't think so. But he obviously wants to remain the leader of the party. But
yes.
Now it looks like Lindsey Graham is going after him. And Lindsey Graham is... You know, I thought Mitch McConnell was bad, but Lindsey Graham and Ron Johnson, Wisconsin, they make McConnell look good. That's how bad they are. It's just beyond belief. Everybody sinks to a lower level in that party, you know?
I just don't understand it. And I would like to open up our lines to... We can't because you're on the line, but I'd like to open up our lines to my friends who are Republicans in this town to ask them, what in the heck are you thinking about? But
I'm very disturbed by Adam Kinzinger, the congressman from Illinois, his relatives. They don't say who they are. I hope it's not his parents.
Yeah, I do too.
But now, maybe cousins.
He doesn't seem to be too
worried. That written letter was in the New York Times. They showed the actual printing and writing of the letter, and I'm thinking, what is wrong with these people? It's just unbelievable how they could condemn him like that, you know?
He doesn't seem to be terribly bothered by it, though.
No, he claims that they're all being manipulated. He doesn't seem to care. I guess they're not close family.
Yeah.
I'm thinking with cousins like that, you don't need cousins.
Yeah, right. I
admire him, though, for standing up.
I do, too.
And Liz Cheney, you know?
Well, I admire anybody that will stand up on principle. Even if I disagree with you, if you stand up on a principle, I will admire you for that, even if I disagree with you. But
yes, I agree. John F. Kennedy wrote that book, Profiles in Courage.
Yeah.
We could have another book and include Liz Cheney, Adam Kinzinger, Mitt Romney, Ben Sasse, Lisa Murkowski, people like that in it, because there are these lesser known names, you know, there's a whole like 10 House members. But I really think that they will look much better in history than these people who just bow to Trump all the time. It's disgraceful.
Do you think those people that you just mentioned, do you think they are the future of the Republican Party, or do you think they're going to have to go out and do their own party?
I don't know, but I think Kinzinger is someone to watch. He's a House member, but it doesn't mean a House member can't run for public office and run for president. I think that Ben Sasse will run. And by the way, he and I share something. He has a PhD in history and taught at the college level, so I can connect to him in that regard.
Cool. You both know the grip, right? The secret handshake.
Yes. He's also a college president, which I haven't been.
Well, we'll work on that, right?
Well, also, I was listening earlier when you talked about that you don't know many people that are famous, and I was tempted to come and say, what about me?
Well, actually, I know an awful lot of people that are famous.
You know, I was laughing when you were saying about having famous people, and I said, well, I'm one of them. Not that I am.
Yes, you are. And I, did you, by the way, did you notice on my ad that I put out that I said the handsome doctor?
Yes, I noticed that, and I appreciate it.
And I think I spelled it right, too.
What's that?
I think I spelled your name right this time.
Yes. How much did WWG issue between what you say wrote and what Adam Lepp wrote, calling me a presidentologist? I love it.
Yeah, well, that's a title that you should be very proud of.
It's weird officially. It's just a name he made up, but I love it.
Well, Adam called in this morning while our show was going on early, and we had a nice long talk. Now, that's a great title that he gave you, and I'm glad.
Yes.
I'm glad that he did that.
Yes, and I've always told him how many times how much I appreciate it. Even though it's not a real word, it's not the presidential scholar is what it should be. I've tried to get that word accepted. I wrote to one of the dictionary companies, but never heard from them. But I think it should be a word for anybody who's a presidential expert.
There you go. I think word. It should too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now let's talk about the there's a thing that's going on right now where Representative Thompson of
Benny Thompson of Mississippi
yes. He's suing Trump and Giuliani, the Proud Boys, and the Oath Keepers
yes.
for violating the 1871 KKK Act.
And I wrote about it yesterday.
Yeah.
You know,
talk to us about
that.
What
stands out about this is I think it could really go far in this case. I really think it could. I imagine it would be more financial damages, not a prison sentence from it, but I can see financial damages being paid possibly under it.
Well, yeah, he was on the air last night talking, I think, Rachel or somebody,
yes.
Saying that, yeah, he's going to sue, he thinks they should sue the Proud Boys and the Oath Taker Keepers.
Yeah.
I didn't know that either one of those groups had, do they have a treasure? Do they have money?
They have money from somewhere because they've organized. You know what's interesting, though, which is going to drive Donald Trump nuts? Benny Thompson is African-American, all right? NAACP, of course, represents people of color.
Sure.
You look at New York State, the state attorney general is going after him.
Yeah.
An African-American woman.
Yes, she is.
The D.C. Attorney General is also African-American. So
yeah.
is the Georgia, whatever the, I guess, I'm not sure it's Attorney General, whatever the position, or the position, the person who's looking into the troubles with that call made to Ratzenberger is also African-American. So he's being surrounded by people who happen to be African-American, all trying to get him in trouble. Not trying, but getting him in trouble. And I'm sure it's blowing his mind.
You know darn well what will happen. People will start saying, those are all those black people don't like him, and that's
unfortunately yes.
And
but it's not; it's just a coincidence. But the fact is also how he treats Asian Americans, how he deals with Muslim Americans, and how he deals with Latinos. Not just African American, but it's just ironic that these people happen to be African American.
Yeah, I guess it's ironic, but you know that people will use anything to condemn a group that isn't their group, right?
Yes, unfortunately.
Yeah.
They'll say it's an international conspiracy.
Yeah.
Socialists and abortionists.
Yeah. And if it weren't for socialists, there would be a lot more cars in the ditch right now up here. but we have highway departments that go and get them out of the ditches and save their lives.
Yes, of course.
That's a socialist thing, by the way.
Talk about Texas. What about Texas?
Oh, yeah.
And what happens? The governor goes on Sean Hannity, I didn't watch it, but I heard it, and blames AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and the Green New Deal, which hasn't even occurred.
Yes.
Isn't that insane?
It's their fault, yeah. And I've been...
She's famous, Ocasio-Cortez. She's just 2 years in the House, but her name is like LBJ, JFK, now it's AOC.
Well, the crazy thing about this is it's total ignorance. I mean, anybody that knows anything would know that AOC can't cause the snow to fall.
But she was a minority, a person of color, so it's part of that whole thing. That Texas is so bad that we're the one that governor. I wish it would go Democratic. I think it will over time, but it's not going to be easy.
No, and we're a long way away from it. If I recall correctly, Republican office holders won by at least 3% all across the board down there.
Yes. Well, Florida's the same. We have a horrendous government here.
Yeah.
We really do. And our governor, some people applaud him, but he's like Christy Noem in South Dakota. They're disgraceful.
Oh, my goodness.
And the people to admire are people like the Michigan governor, Gretchen Whitmer, or the California governor, But yet there are people who praise governors that are horrendous, not dealing with the virus.
Governor Noem has one good thing for her. She's looks a good. Very pretty woman.
Yes, she is. So was Sarah Palin.
Yeah, that's true. But she could see
with,
Russia.
With Michelle Bachmann. Looks on that everything.
Yeah, quite often they are the antithesis of everything. But
yes.
One of the... I'm not going to remember the lady's name. I'm going to pass on what I was about to say because I can't remember the congresswoman's name.
Yeah, I wanted to mention that in my class, I'm in the Civil War period, I talk about how Lincoln, you know, all the things about Lincoln, I said Lincoln is quite homely looking. You know, he is homely. But I said two presidents before him is Franklin Pierce, who's got a nickname at the time, Handsome Frank, and he is handsome, but I said he's a total disaster and Lincoln's number one.
Yeah.
So you can't go by looks, even on men.
Have you started watching the CNN Lincoln?
Yes,
show?
It's really good.
It's very good, isn't it?
Good, yes.
It really points out some things that you think of the myth. You don't think of the real President Lincoln, right?
Yes, and they did say he's not perfect, which is quite true. I always say that. No one is perfect, but
well,
compared to anybody else, which is what we do when we judge presidents on President's Day, he's still number one.
Yeah, yeah.
And Joe Biden is doing very well for 1 month, 62% public opinion rating. Trump never reached 50%. So we're very fortunate to have this man in the White House.
It was 4 weeks ago today that he was that the inauguration went on, right?
Yes, and on Saturday it'll be exactly 1 month of the day. You know, it'll be the 20th. Yep.
Yeah, it's. I think he's done a pretty decent job. Now he had
decent more than that.
I'm giving my friends here in Marion, Ohio, a rather red city, I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt. No, did you watch the town hall last night?
Yes, and I wrote about it this morning.
Oh, I've missed it. I haven't seen your
you know, it's very presidential.
What?
And he comes across with his sincerity, honesty, and genuine nature, engaging personality, warm, and, you know, when I say, you know, this is a man who's really doing as much as he can in 1 month to undo all the horrible mess that Trump left us, you know.
Yeah. Now, the one I watched, I didn't watch the whole thing. I watched, I've watched most of the highlights of it is what I've done. But one thing that kind of bothered me a little bit is, and everybody's saying what a wonderful job he had done because of his empathy, when he spoke to the little girl and told her that she and her mother were going to be all right, that bothered me a little bit because he doesn't really know they're going to be all right. Now, he did say to the little girl, the chances of little children getting this COVID in a bad way are very slim, and I understand that.
Yes, that's what he meant. Yeah.
But mom could still get it, and that, it kind of scared me that he said that. But,
but he's trying to promote optimism.
Yes, and especially to pick her
can't
up.
Guarantee, nobody can guarantee you're even going to be here, you or I, tomorrow, but that's have hope, you know.
Yeah.
But one thing, interesting, when he did that, I thought of Lincoln being in the, you know, meeting when he was president-elect, a little girl who told him, you should grow a beard. And that's why he grew a beard.
Is that right? Because of a little girl?
Yeah, I'm not sure of her age. Exactly. Maybe she was a teenager, but she was not an adult. But she asked him to grow a beard, saying, you'll look better with a beard, and he grew the beard.
She was probably a candidate, you know, one of those people that's hired to make their candidates better. I don't know.
Yeah, but you know, he used to make fun of himself, Lincoln. He would make fun of this, the fact he wasn't good-looking.
Well, one of the things that they talk about on the Lincoln show on CNN is they showed all the different pictures as he got older.
Yes.
And, boy, if you want to see somebody that aged poorly, Lincoln didn't do a real good job.
Well, because of the war and because he had a difficult wife to live with.
Right.
She was a nightmare.
Yeah, now, it's kind of interesting that they didn't... get into any mental illness that I remember.
So far, because it's just the early part.
Yeah.
But she really had major problems, you know. When she ended up in an institution, her son Robert Todd Lincoln put her in a mental institution for a period of years after Lincoln was killed, and she lost another son because she lost three sons.
I didn't know she lost three.
So maybe that's part of the reason. But she was very difficult to live with. They fought all the time, and she was accused of spending too much money on, you know, in the White House for furnishings. Interestingly, when Jacqueline Kennedy spent a lot of money, nobody made an issue of it. But 100 years earlier, when Mary Todd Lincoln did, they made a big deal out of it.
Well, did they compare apples to apples? Lincoln's.
Well, it depends how you look at Nancy Reagan when Lady was criticized for spending too much money. So some people said the Kennedys got a free ride. Well, maybe, I don't know, maybe a lot of it was done privately, the money, but she did, of course, totally change the White House, Jacqueline Kennedy.
Well, you know, you're talking about Democrats and Republicans. Lincoln was a Republican, and they really are tight on the purse strings. Maybe that was it.
But Lincoln today would not be a Republican.
No, I know he wouldn't.
Neither would Teddy Roosevelt. Would never be a Republican now.
Yeah.
And even Eisenhower was never anything until he finally announced he was running, being drafted by Henry Capital Lodge Jr., Senator Henry Capital Lodge Jr., and then he became a Republican. But he was asked by Truman in 47, when Truman had a rough patch, he was saying, why don't you run for president? I'll be your vice president, which I think is shocking.
Yeah.
I mean, Truman, after being president, would say, I'll agree to run for vice president for you and run for president, but he didn't want to do it, Eisenhower. He could have been a Democrat.
Huh. Well, if you read some of his speeches, especially his speech about being careful with the military complex,
it's
very Democratic right now.
Farewell address. And I remind you, Ronald Reagan was a Democrat until he became a Republican. So they all were Democrats, or Democrat-like, in modern terms, you know.
Yeah, now there was somebody that they mentioned on the air the other night, a very famous... and I can't remember who it was, one of our congressmen who was switched over from Democratic to Republican or vice
versa. In Ohio, you mean?
No, in the nation. I can't remember who it was.
Hmm. Anyway. Well, there's a lot of people that switch parties. And,
yeah.
You know, and there's a list online you can look up. I mean, there's quite a few that switch around.
Well,
switch back.
I was a Republican up till Nixon. And actually, the first... The first 4 years of Nixon, I maintained that I was a Republican. But after Watergate and lots of and the Vietnam War and stuff like that, that's when I changed from Republican to Democrat.
Well, I can understand that, And I used to think Nixon, with his good points, I knew there were some, that his bad points made him the absolute worst. It couldn't get worse, but it is worse.
Yeah, it got worse, didn't it?
Yes. So we have to wonder, in 40 years, when we look back and say, nobody can be worse than Trump, say, oh my God, the new guy or woman is worse? Hopefully not.
Well, it is interesting how history judges our presidents a lot differently than the current
incumbents. Yes.
Yeah.
Truman was horribly condemned, and now he's right in the top five of all presidents.
Who's that?
Truman.
Oh yeah.
And he was really seen as a loser when he left office.
Well,
lowest public opinion rating ever.
Well, it was very low because I think a lot of people blamed him for killing so many Japanese people with the bomb. Wasn't that one of the reasons?
Well, there was those on the left that would say that, but I think most Americans thought he did what he had to do to win the war. I don't think it was that strong, maybe more now, but I think at the time, most people would think that he was heroic for doing what he did to end the war sooner and save a lot of American lives and Asian lives.
You know? Yeah, I think people started to understand that, but I think immediately after the war, there were a lot of people who thought, holy mackerel, when they found out how many 180,000 people were killed in one flash or something.
Also, the fact that Truman came out to FDR, it was a thought nobody matches FDR, although he wasn't perfect either.
Yeah.
He was seen as a godlike figure, so it was hard to match him, and Truman certainly was not FDR. But yet he's rated in the top five.
Yeah. Another thing that interested me in the town hall yesterday was that the person got up, the student, and asked about student loans, and were you going to do away with getting rid of the student loans? And he said no. He said flat out no. He wasn't going to get rid of them. He was going to make them, more doable.
Well, also, I think cancel 10,000, but not more.
Yeah,
that's what he said. Yeah.
Now I can. Yeah, but he said no. It was flat out, and I thought, that's kind of abrupt to be on a town hall and say something so strong. We had a town hall here with Jim Jordan. It really wasn't a town hall. He stood on the porch of Harding's home. And,
oh, my God.
Yeah, and people asked questions.
He's one she ordered in the making.
Oh, my goodness. You won't like hearing this. Well, you will like hearing this. I don't know how you... Scott just came in and left me a message. Rush Limbaugh died at age 70.
What? Really?
Yeah.
Just in this hour?
Yeah, just now.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
That's pretty amazing.
Well, you know, I'm not going to say I'm happy. I'm not that indecent, but
no.
I think his contribution was negative. I'm not happy to hear somebody die.
No.
I wouldn't wish that. No, but I'm sure a lot of people on the other side would wish that maybe, you know, our president or Obama or Hillary and others would die because they're vicious, you know. But I would not say that. I'm just sorry to hear that, boy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Now, he was... he had been ill for at least a year, right?
Yeah, cancer, yeah.
And but he passed away today at age 70. I didn't know he was that young.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I'm not
excited. I'm not happy. I guess I knew he was going to come.
Yeah.
But it's not nice to hear that, you know. But he is, I think, a destructive force in our history. Absolutely. I'll probably write about it in a nice way, but still make it clear that he did not contribute to the advancement of the country. He divided it more, you know.
Well, you know, that's one of the things Scott and I were talking about today is that things like COVID and things like, any negatives, national negatives, have a silver lining on him. COVID, we may not, it's a horrible thing, but we've learned how to use, what is the name of that thing where you have all the pictures on your computer screen and you can talk to everybody. We're starting to use technology much faster because of COVID. So there are some positive things, and I know Rush Limbaugh, his death is not positive for his family and so forth, but we won't listen to him running people into the ground anymore, I guess.
And I see here on CNBC headline says, Rush Limbaugh, self-proclaimed doctor of democracy? That makes me want to throw up.
Well, yeah, but Adam gave him that title.
No,
I made that up. Adam, if you're listening,
I'll pick on Adam.
Didn't mean to.
Doctor of democracy. Oh my God, that makes me angry. Not that he died, but that somebody that he would proclaim himself. But look, Trump calls himself all kinds of wonderful things too. You know.
Yeah, he's the best at everything.
Yeah,
he has the most words.
Everything. But he's the worst of everything. Oh my. Well, wow. I really is stunning to happen.
That is stunning.
You're on the air. Wow.
Yeah. Okay, let's go back also. I wanted to, were you surprised that the impeachment vote was 57-43? Either positively surprised or negatively surprised about that?
In the middle, because I'm glad more than five. Originally it was five
for
the impeachment trial. It ended up two more, Cassidy of Louisiana and Burr of North Carolina joined. And I think that's, in a way, not enough. But it was going to be very hard to get 67. But getting seven Republicans to join with the 50 Democrats, it was certainly the most bipartisan impeachment trial ever. And I think it's really quite a statement, and I'm glad that, you know, that it did happen, at least that many. But I think there were others who should have done so, including McConnell. And, you know, but McConnell was unwilling to go that far. But if he had said he was going to, maybe a few more of the others would have gone along. But It just besmirches the Republican Party. It makes them look absolutely horrendous, you know.
And
I think they're in trouble in the future. Like you were asking, is it going to be the same party or a new party? I really don't see the Republican Party surviving long term. But if it is, it's got to have somebody like a Kinzinger or a Sass, or maybe a Romney coming back, because most of the Republican Party, the people that are thinking of running, are just obscene. They're really terrible. Josh Hawley, are you serious?
Yeah.
And Ted Cruz makes me want to vomit. And Rand Paul and Tom Cotton and even Nikki Haley, who I feel is a disgrace, even though she seems to have backed away and suddenly she's acting like she didn't like him. But to me, I thought she had principle a few years ago, and then I realized she doesn't. So they're all obscene, I think, as possible. And I don't see how any of them could win the election. I don't think they could.
Well, you know, apparently hypocrisy isn't a bad thing anymore. It's actually done quite well for the Republican Party in the last 4 years.
Yes, and Kristi Noem is another one.
Oh, yeah.
That she comes to South Dakota, and she wants to run, apparently she wants to run for president, and she promotes the idea that Donald Trump should be on Mount Rushmore. Can you believe that?
Yes, I can believe it coming from her.
These are women that might run, but who the hell is Kristi Noem to think after she's botched up the way South Dakota dealt with the virus, with the pandemic? It's just they have no conscience, these people, you know?
They don't seem to, and that's one of the things that bothers me. And I hate I hate that we have lost any control over the hypocrisy that all of our politicians, and I shouldn't say all of them, but it seems to be more the Republican side seems to not care about the hypocrisy.
No.
But there are some Democrats that are pretty hypocritical as well. But the thing is, they will change on a dime. It's like Lindsey Graham.
Well, he's a Republican, not a Democrat.
No, I'm just talking about politicians in general. People that will change on a dime to follow a vote rather than follow their conscience. Now, one of the, who was it? One of the, trying to remember, somebody was said that we didn't vote for you to follow your to be honest and follow your conscience.
Oh, that was in the state of Pennsylvania.
Yes, yes.
The state party was critical of what's his name from Pennsylvania? I can't think. The moment the senator of Pennsylvania, Pat Toomey, and
yes.
said, "We didn't elect you to have the conscience." I saw that, and I started to curse actually at this. I said, "What the?" You can imagine the next word. What kind of a thing is that to say? And right on screen, what's wrong with you? You know.
Well, I once had an argument with one of my students when I was at OU about that. Now, if you're elected if you're an elected official, should you vote your conscience or should you vote your constituents? And it was my feeling that you should vote your conscience, and it was my feeling that you should vote for your constituents.
That's what I...
And his feeling that you should vote for your conscience. And I never have quite justified either way in my head on that.
Yeah, because I look at it, you're not a puppet. You have a brain, but you can also disagree on some issues. Back to citizenry on many issues, but you have to have your own mind, too, you know?
Yeah.
And actually, as I'm sitting here thinking, who would I think, from a viewpoint as a progressive, think a good conservative but reasonable, rational ticket for 2024 would be? Get ready. Ben Sasse for president and Adam Kinzinger for vice president.
Yeah.
We're asking Illinois, Midwest, flyover country, the heartland. I think it'd be a great ticket. People of principle. I don't really want them elected, but if they did, it wouldn't be the end of the world.
Right.
It wouldn't be like the monstrous people we see today. So I think a Sasse Kinzinger ticket sounds pretty good.
Yeah. It isn't as good as Biden Harris, but it's it's pretty good.
And I wouldn't vote for it, but I mean, in his case, he's only about 48 or 50 stats, so he's young, and that's a good age. He'd be a little bit older, and Kinzinger is only like 42. I think and they also look good, which doesn't hurt, because they have nice appearances. So I think, imagine me a progressive suggesting a fast Kinzinger ticket.
Well, that's a little tough, but we understand. You're
but
delusional.
I guess it makes it evil because I said it.
Oh, my. You know, one of the things I heard this week, here it is. I was trying to remember what Bannon had said that drove me nuts from the very beginning when he was supporting Trump. He said he wanted to deconstruct the administrative state. And when I heard that, I thought, what in the world? Is he want anarchy?
Yes.
Do you think that's what he was saying back then?
And he was pardoned. He should, on other charges, he should be brought to trial on other issues that were not part of the pardon. It's ridiculous. The man is so evil. Same as Roger Stone is evil. You know, these people, and Giuliani, look, Giuliani, I understand now, was fired and is not being paid by Trump.
Does that surprise anybody?
And, they both, people need to go to prison. They really do at some point, you know?
My guess is Giuliani is making money some other way.
Oh, God. He was once a respectable mayor.
Yes.
What happened to him, you know?
Well, I think 9/11 made him respectable, didn't it?
Well, actually, Joe Biden made fun of him after that when he was running Giuliani in 7 and 8, and he was for a while in front runner for the nomination, although he didn't get it, because at the time, and I think that's why he doesn't like Joe Biden, actually made a crack, and he says, when you think about Giuliani, what do you think of 9/11 and what else? That's what he said.
Well,
it wasn't really nice of Joe to say that, and I was thinking, boy, you're being nasty once.
Well,
he didn't usually do that, but he actually made fun of Giuliani. I think Giuliani has never gotten over it, and that's why he went after him on the Ukraine thing and was trying to frame him and get his son in trouble and all that, you know?
One of the things I was, I'm sorry, I keep bouncing all over the place. I had all these things written down. And this one, what have you listened to Lincoln's Peoria speech? I have not, and I was listening to some of my talking head friends on either CNN or MSNBC the other day, and they said that was one of his greatest speeches, and I've never even heard of it, so I'm going to have to look it up. It might be one of those speeches that I read on the air. You know, I do read speeches on the air quite often, and that might be one of them. I don't know.
Well, that, and also he gave a speech in 1860 at Cooper Union in New York City, the College of New York City, Cooper Union. Known for his speeches, but the Peoria speech was in 1854 when he criticized Stephen Douglas for popular sovereignty, leaving it up to the people to decide whether slavery would be allowed in Kansas and Nebraska.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, so right. That was in 1854, but Cooper Union is 1860, and it's a speech that made people pay attention to him, and he wasn't the front runner for the nomination. William Henry Seward, who became the Secretary of State, was the so-called front runner, but at the Republican Convention, it went to the third ballot, and Lincoln ended up the nominee, and he picked New York Senator William Henry Seward, who had been the front runner, to be his running, not to be his running, but to be his Secretary of State. And then what happened? 148 years later, a guy from Illinois overcame a front runner, a senator from New York, and made her, Hillary Clinton, his Secretary of State.
Yeah.
It's made that comparison between Seward and Clinton. It is interesting.
Yeah, now, history may not repeat itself, but it certainly does send up some similar mirror images, doesn't it? I mean, we don't seem to be bright enough to learn from our mistakes, though, in history. It just...
Well, that's why we need history professors and historians.
There you go. Padding your own profession, right?
Yes, yes.
Well, now, what do your students think of the impeachment, the lack of having a conviction?
Actually, I don't discuss it in these... First of all, I'm online, not in person.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I don't discuss that because I'm trying to avoid... It sounds funny. In the political science course, we talk about the president trying to talk facts and reality, not opinions. And so I asked him to come before or after the class. It's still online but not recorded.
Yeah.
And a few people will discuss it with me. But it's very hard the way it is to really discuss it. And I try to avoid politics so I don't alienate those, because there's certainly enough students who like Trump and certainly many students who like Biden. So all I'm going to do is when we get to Trump, I'm going to talk about the pluses and the minuses. And you might say, they're really pluses? Yes, there are a few pluses. So I will talk about the pluses, but I will also show the many negatives. And I do that with every president, even Obama. It's not everything works out well. So
right.
I try to show both sides, maybe not exactly evenly balanced, but I do present both sides within the limits of what I can do. But, of course, you're not going to please everybody. But I try to avoid in the classroom environment, especially online now, having a discussion, because a lot of students don't want to talk online. It's different than being in a class.
Sure.
Now but I think quite a few would agree with me that it's a disgrace the way the trial ended up, but not really surprising. I think it would be shocking if 67 votes had come out. Succeeded yet, the impeachment of a president, to be convicted. But it's the best ever result.
I held out hope the whole time. Now you've piqued my interest. You say there are some positive things that you would talk about President Trump. Give me one or two.
We've only got
about 2 minutes.
Okay, for one thing, the fact is in 4 years he often used saber-rattling about troops and war, but he never started a war with any country.
That's true, yeah.
And that is a plus, in the long run of history.
Maybe he was too lazy to start it, I don't know.
No, but he talked a lot about it, but he didn't do it.
Yeah.
All right, and also until February, March, the economy was good, although it was good under Obama, and it just continued.
Right.
He came in at a good economy, but it was running lower, like 3.7%.
Right.
3.5. So, of course, then everything fell apart. But I have to say, if the term had ended in January of a year ago, he would look like a pretty damn good economy. You would have to say that.
Yeah, and he might have been He might have been voted back in.
If the election had been November 2019, I think he would have been. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, but everything is timing, and for the long run of history, and for our society, and for democracy, thank goodness it worked out as it did. But at the sacrifice of 500,000 people dead, that's the only bad thing, you know?
Yeah. Now, have you lost...
500,000 now. And for 4 years, I tell students, 620,000 in the Civil War in 4 years. Here, 500,000 in 1 year, so it's a horrible tragedy.
Are we up to 500,000 already, or...?
About 487, I think. So in the next few days, it'll be, you know, certainly by the end of the month, probably in the next week, it will be 1 million, yeah?
Now, do you think that Biden's taking over is really... everybody that's talking about it saying the deaths and everything are going down. Do you think Biden had anything to do with that?
Well, I think the fact that more people are getting, like, it's way over, I think it's close to 2 million shots a day, which is about 1 million. So I think the fact that more shots are going on and larger supplies, I don't think it's directly linked to him. Yeah. But I think that because also the holidays have passed quite a bit, so the surge is somewhat over for now. I do think that, you know, it is slowing down the number of deaths, the number of infections, but it's still too many.
Oh, yeah.
It's all from over, and they're still coming up, but don't forget, we just had Valentine's Day, and a lot of people not paying attention about that, and then we have Easter coming up, right?
Right.
And we have Memorial Day, so, and people just don't seem to care about anybody but themselves. So many people, and not just young people, people who should be smarter and know better.
Yeah,
The way it is, you know, or we can just do our best for ourselves and try to help others by our behavior.
Right. Well, we're down to about 2.5 minutes. Anything you want to throw in there before we take a week off?
Yes.
Okay.
A week off? What do you mean a week off?
Well, you and I won't be talking for another week.
Oh, right? But next week we will. Yeah, okay.
Right.
Yeah. Well, February 11th I wrote, and it didn't happen, it is time for Mike Pence to condemn Donald Trump and call for his conviction. Why didn't he agree to come in and testify against him, or at least issue a statement? I don't understand, because the president didn't give a damn about his life and health.
Right.
And I just can't understand why. And his wife doesn't like Trump. We know that. So, you know, Mrs. Pence. So I just don't get it, you know. And as far as worrying about how it's going to affect his future, I don't think he has a rat's chance in hell to be the nominee, because Trump will oppose him. And I don't think he's ever going to be acceptable, you know. So I don't understand why he didn't. And it really annoys me. He should have spoken up. Maybe then he could have gotten more Republican senators to join the 7.
Where did he go? He's gone off.
He's in Indiana and lying low. And supposedly at some point he will speak up. But to me, if your boss turned against you and decided he was going to help to maybe get you hanged, you would think you would react, wouldn't you?
Do you think people were really wanting to kill him and Pelosi? Or
well,
do you think they were just shouting that to scare
well,
people?
Well, they had a gallows out.
Yeah, but it was. I think the rope was like a cable wire or something.
They were yelling hang, and also talking about putting a bullet in Pelosi's head. And I think, I'm not saying Trump said go and kill her. No, he didn't say that. But some of these nuts and fanatics, I think, were ready to murder her if they come across her or Pence or Mitt Romney, who was saved by Eugene Goodman, that African-American police officer.
Yeah.
You know, and also anybody else. They were lucky they got out of the way just in time. But when you have a mob and a crowd like that, anything is possible.
Yeah, because the crowd mentality is completely different, and you have to be in one to know that. But, boy, yeah, I could see it going wrong. It could have gone haywire.
Yes, bad enough, and the damage done, and all the blood and feces they found.
Yeah, that's what I heard. That's pretty sad. Anyway.
Thanks so much. I had a great time again. See you next week.
Okay, we got about 20 seconds before we're out of here, so you have a good day, Dr. Feynman.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, we're out of here. And, we'll be out of here in about 10 seconds. And I've got to make sure that I keep my shows going. For some reason or other, my computer is looking funny at me. So have yourself a good day. Bye-bye.
You're listening to WWGH Radio LP, Marion, Ohio, 107.1.